and being a house of prayer to the Lord, a place where people know that if they have stuff going on in their life, they need to bring that before the Lord. This is a place that they can come to bring their prayer request before God. That we want to be known as a house of prayer to the Lord. And we've been focusing on things that will help us to really be more of that kind of a place where people know us as a praying people. We've been focusing on things that will help us, just like the disciples had asked Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. We've been looking at things that will help us to understand prayer more and to be more of a praying people and to learn how to more effectually pray to the God that has created us. And last week we spent our time looking at the prayer that Nehemiah offered on behalf of not only himself but the Israelite people, with his concern for the condition of the city of Jerusalem, and the wall around the city had been torn down, and Nehemiah brought his prayer request before God and first of all began honoring God as the God of creation, and then confessed and repented sin, not only of himself but of the people of Israel, and called upon God to remember the promises that he had made to the Israelite people. And then after doing all of that, had made his request, brought his petition before God to grant him favor before the king. Well, this morning, as we continue looking at prayer and how do we become more of a praying people, I want us to talk about Moses this morning. And Moses' special prayer relationship that he had with God, that relationship the Bible describes, as you saw in the passage that we read, if you haven't already turned there, Exodus chapter 33, that Moses had what I just referred to as a face-to-face relationship with God. Okay? And that's when we look at this relationship that Moses had, there's some things in here that I think are very important to us to understand this. But we look at this face-to-face relationship, that here was this tent of meeting that Moses had put up, and that when there were situations, there were problems, there was stuff that came up between people, that Moses had to decide those things. He went to this tent that he had pitched up. Now, understand, this is not the same thing as the tabernacle in the wilderness, okay? It's a different thing altogether here. That had not been completed yet. And so this is a place that Moses went to hear, you know, complaints, to make decisions and judgments and all of those kind of things. But it was a place that where Moses met with the Lord. And look at what the text tells us here. Beginning in verse 9, as Moses went into the tent, a pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood in worship, each at the entrance to his tent. And look at verse 11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And look over in Numbers chapter 12. Take a look over there for a second and look at what it says right here. Numbers chapter 12 here. And let me see. The verse that I want us to focus on, beginning of verse 6. Now this is when Aaron and Miriam are kind of rising up in rebellion against Moses and his authority and leadership and so forth. God calls the two of them to account. And look at what he says here, beginning in verse 6. Verse 6, he says, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him, I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? You see, they had come in opposition to him. And God calls them to account. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, at verse 10, speaking of the death of Moses, it is said there, "Since then no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." So we see this several different times. The Scriptures are telling us about this face-to-face relationship that Moses had with God. And to me, that's just kind of awesome. There's no one else that I know of in the Scriptures that it tells us had that kind of a relationship with God. A face-to-face relationship. And what I want to do this morning is I want us to stop and take a look at what does that really imply for us? When we're talking about this face-to-face relationship, you know, we're talking about prayer. And Dale kind of implied here a few moments ago as he was up there talking about the idea here, we're sitting here, and I think Ted even said something about it. You know, we're sitting here next to God. You know, we're talking to God, we're conversing with Him. It's kind of like, okay, well, He's sitting here in the chair right next to me, and we can carry on a conversation. Or we're driving down the road, and he's sitting there, you know, next to us, and we can talk to Him and have conversation, though we may not be able to see Him with these eyes. We should be able to see Him with the eyes of our heart. Let's talk about a face-to-face relationship. What can we learn about that relationship that Moses had with God for us today? The first thing, if you look on your notes there from the bulletin, you see the first title there is, "Look into my eyes." Look into my eyes. Because you see, I think that is really one of the most important aspects of a face-to-face relationship. You ever notice how different conversation is when you're talking to someone face-to-face versus maybe talking to them over the phone? You know? It's a whole lot different, isn't it? You're getting the words, but what are you missing when you're talking to someone on the telephone? You're missing those facial expressions, aren't you? You see, they're absent. You can hear the tone of voice, but there's a vitally important aspect of communication that you're missing in that long-distance conversation. If you're not sitting in the same room with someone where you can actually see them, you're kind of missing something in the conversation, aren't you? That's how important a face-to-face relationship really is. See? That's why it's important for us to get together every now and then, you see, so we can see each other's faces. You thought it was just because you were good looking and we all just want to look at you, right? No. We need to see one another, you see. We need to interact with one another that way. And I think it's the importance here of looking into each other's eyes. Okay? Look into each other's eyes. See, someone... I don't remember who it was that someone said the eyes are the window to the soul, right? You look into someone's eyes, then it's almost like you can look into their heart sometimes. And you see, this idea of having this face-to-face relationship with God, especially as we pray, that though it is not a physical face-to-face relationship like apparently Moses had with God, but there's an important aspect of that, that at the very, very least, that what we are doing is allowing God to look into our eyes. Think about that. You remember after Jesus was arrested and Peter was there in the courtyard, and he was confronted three different times by people that came and accused him of being one of Jesus' disciples, and each time, Peter denied that he knew Jesus, right? And then after the third time and the rooster crowed, okay, Luke in his gospel account tells us that at that point Jesus turned and he looked straight at Peter. Yeah, that look. Okay, we've talked about that before. And I'm convinced in my own heart and mind, I don't have any scripture to back this up, but I'm convinced that I don't think that Peter ever forgot that look. Okay? I think that that's a face-to-face encounter that Jesus and Peter had that Peter never forgot for the rest of his life. That's how important someone being able to look into our eyes really is. And so you see, as we think about this idea of having a face-to-face relationship with God, here's the question for you to consider. That our prayers, are they allowing God, are we allowing God to look into our heart and mind, you see? In other words, that our prayers should be open to God, where we allow Him to look inside of us. In other words, not holding anything back. Not trying to hide anything from Him as if we really could, right? But I think there is still a difference between a person who's just open and one who's trying, though futile as it is, to hide things from God. Do you see that difference? And that our prayers as we come before God should be so open that we just want God to peer inside of us and to reveal to us what we need to do, what we need to change, where we need to be better, all of those kinds of things. But just welcome God and open Him up to us in our lives. And in that way, I think that we can have, in a sense, that face-to-face relationship with God. The second thing is that it tells us here about Moses and his relationship with God is that not only were they face-to-face, but it tells us here that God spoke with Moses friend-to-friend, it says here. You see, or as a man speaks with a friend. Okay? They were friends. Have you ever really thought about that before in terms of Moses being God's friend that way? It wasn't just that God had said, okay, Moses, I got a job for you to do. I want you to go back to Egypt and free the people. And Moses is going, huh? You see? And then he didn't really want to go. And God sent him anyway. And he forced him to do all this stuff. And they came to the Red Sea. And Moses stood there and went, I told you so, God. Oh, no. What was happening all this time is they were building this friendship. But by the time that they had gotten to this tent of meeting, that God would meet with Moses face to face and they would sit there and they would talk as a man speaks with his friend. That is all about relationship, isn't it? It's all about relationship. Okay? As a man speaks with his friend. That's how God conversed with Moses. Okay? Friend to friend. What does that really tell us? And what does it indicate to us, especially about prayer and our relationship with God? Well, when you think about a relationship between friends, and you just think about whoever your closest friend is that you have, what are some of the characteristics or qualities of your relationship that you have with that person? Well, I'd suggest that probably it has to do with things like comfort and trust, right? Aren't those some of the words that we typically tend to relate to our friends? It's informal, you see? That we can sit down with that person and we can talk about anything that we want to talk about or need to talk about without being afraid that they're going to run off and tell someone else or that they're going to think bad of us or anything like that. Why? Because that friend knows us already. And we know them. And that's the relationship that God had with Moses. See? He spoke to him as a man speaks to his friend. And so I think that there was in that relationship a certain amount of comfort. And there was trust that Moses certainly had placed in God and that God had placed in Moses. You see? It's friendship. A relationship. He says, you know, we can sit down and we can talk about anything. And you know, really, when you think about it, friendship is got to be at the top of our list of desires to have with God. It's friendship. Jesus in John chapter 15, In verse 13, he said, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And then he goes on to say, you are my friends if you do what I command. Okay? And that's why I say that friendship should be at the top of our list. That in doing, desiring to do what God wants us to do, that is to obey His will, that we understand and realize it's not just so that we're going through the motions of doing what He told us to do, but that it's so that we can have that friendship relationship with Him. We can be friends with Him. Okay? You see, then our prayers, as we offer them before God, should be based on, I believe, a friendship with Jesus. And then, third, there is that walking in the garden. See, when we're talking about a relationship, Moses had this face-to-face relationship, but we've talked about Adam and Eve before at different times. They had a relationship with God that I think was similar in that they were, the Bible says, they were walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They heard that sound. It was something that they were used to. Genesis chapter 3. Before they had sinned, apparently they had that kind of a relationship. Because when they had sinned, after they had sinned, they heard that sound. The Bible says they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves. And you've heard me talk about this before where I look at that and I say, why was it that they hid? What were they hiding from? Was it because it was a noise that they didn't know what it was? And they go, oh, here comes something. We don't know what it is. Quick, hide so we can find out. Oh, no, they knew exactly what that noise was. They knew what that sound was because they had heard it before. They had a walking in the garden in the cool of the day relationship with God. And sin is what destroyed that relationship. But you know, the bottom line is the reason that God sent His Son to die for us, what we just celebrated here a few moments ago, what we just remembered, that event of Jesus dying on the cross and then being raised from the dead, was so that you and I, even today, could have that kind of a relationship with God again. That's what He wants with us. Is a walk in the garden in the cool of the day relationship. That's what it means to be reconciled to Him. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And that one another is God. That we and God are in fellowship. We're walking together in the garden in the cool of the day. That's relationship. And that's what God wants with us. In anything. So that we will be back in fellowship with Him. Sin is what separates us from God. Sin is what removes the friendship. Sin is what destroys the relationship. Sin is what takes us out of fellowship with God. But the blood of Jesus is what brings us back. The blood of Jesus is what restores the fellowship. The blood of Jesus is what restores the relationship and brings us back into friendship with God. And a walking in the light with Him. And that's what He wants. Okay? That's what He wants. He wants us to be friends with Him. And so therefore, our prayers that we offer before God, you see, should reflect our walk with God. Right? A walk that is in the light. Face to face, as a man speaks with his friend, a walk in the light, in fellowship with God. That's what God is all about. Okay? And our prayers, as we offer them up before God, should be reflecting those same desires on our part. With Him. Okay? That we should be able to be to speak to Him face to face as a friend speaks to a friend that we are walking in fellowship with. Now, think about those kind of aspects of a relationship with God in your life? Is that what you have this morning? Do you have that kind of a relationship with Him? Okay. If you're not a Christian, if you're still lost in your sins, if you haven't had your sins washed away in baptism and given yourself to Christ, then you don't have that relationship with Him yet. You need to understand that. But that's what God wants with you. You see, that's the great thing. The bad thing is that you don't have it. The good thing is you can have it. You see, you don't have to pay anything for it. The price has already been paid, right? Right? Right, the blood of Jesus paid that. So you don't have to pay. It's free. Isn't that great? We all like free, right? You see? Yeah, I knew y'all would get that one. We like free. And this is free. All we have to do is give our life to Him. If you haven't done so, but you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as such. Repent of your sins that are separating you from God, and have those sins washed away in baptism. You can do that right now if you're ready to make that commitment. But what about those who already are Christians? Maybe in your life you're struggling and there's things that are going on that you know that shouldn't be. And your relationship with God is not what you know that it really should be. And it certainly you wouldn't describe it as being this face-to-face talking with God as a man talks with his friend walking in his life. You look at those things and you say, that's not what I have with God right now. And do something about that. Because that's what He wants, as we said. That's His desire, is to have that kind of a relationship with us. If you're missing that, do something about it this morning. If there's sin in your life that if you're still there, you got to get rid of it. Repent of it. If there's something else that Satan is distracting you with, something that's kind of bogging you down, let's get rid of that. Some need that you have that we can help you with, let us know what it is. We want people to be able to have that kind of a relationship with God. We can't help you with it if we don't know what it is. So we have an opportunity. Ted's going to come up and lead us in a song here, and we're going to use that as an invitation. And the invitation is open to you. If there's something that we can do to help you in your walk with God and in your prayer life, and all you have to do is come up and let me know. Let's stand together and sing.